And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What? Dope.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
See, now this is a real podcast exclusive. This is a perfect example of a day in which exemplifies why we want to do this. Because we did the television show today, half-hour show. And of course, you cannot responsibly and respectfully to your audience go on television on a day like today, after the events of yesterday, and start talking about the Knicks win. And just disregard the fact that a mob stormed the Capitol building and a man put his feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk. Like, you have to acknowledge that that happened. And obviously in the television format, national audience, executives listening and watching, there's only so much you can say, and you only have so much time to say it in when you have a half an hour show. So we're so glad we have the podcast exclusive opportunity today to discuss the events of yesterday and also the events in the world of sports, the wild card games, the NBA games late last night. But we start with the Capitol yesterday, and there were some discussions that the NBA players maybe wouldn't play. They decided to play. We saw some knees being taken. We had some very powerful words, very articulate, intelligent words from some players after the game. Jalen, when you watched the events of DC yesterday through the events of the NBA last night, what were some of the feelings that you felt?
Yesterday, Jacoby, was a day I'll remember forever, like so many, but for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons, had successful brain surgery. I don't talk much publicly about certain personal challenges that my family or myself may endure. I try to share as much as I can to humanize myself, but also it's important to keep certain things personal. And so dealing with that first and foremost, because her surgery was yesterday afternoon. Because of COVID and the United States handling of COVID and the same leadership that we'll get into as we talk about the events from yesterday, because of those protocols, only one family member is allowed to go. It was a sister to go, in case anything came up in any way, shape, or form. And so as I'm grappling with and looking at my mother literally on a gurney come out of surgery, because my sister called me on FaceTime, I wasn't necessarily checked into the rest of the world because clearly I was focused on my mom. I wasn't paying attention to anything else. And so when I realized what was taking place yesterday, the first thing that came to mind, I would not lie to the people, the first thing that came to mind was that this is the first time in my life and in so many people's lives that look like me that they physically saw white Americans upset with good old glory, to the point where they're willing to carry out that anger in an attempt to overthrow what was acknowledged in every court that was tried. It was a fair and just election that Joe Biden won the presidency and the Democrats won the two seats in Atlanta. It happened, Jacoby. It took place. And so as we were watching the revolution be televised, because all of us were glued to our televisions at that point, it wasn't just me. Like, yesterday, to be honest, was going to be a cleanse day. Like, I ain't drinking today. I'm just chilling, eat good, whatever. I saw those events happening, Jacoby. I am not going to lie to the people. Four people died. One got shot. That is unacceptable behavior. But there were a lot of black people while they were watching a group of people. That wasn't a diverse crowd, Jacoby.
No.
Jacoby, was that a diverse crowd?
No. That did not look like a Benetton ad to me. The people storming, the Capitol.
Right. That wasn't a diverse crowd. And so while that was happening, there was a part of me that actually warmed up as someone that saw the KKK with their masks, saw the KKK with their hoods and the images of how blacks were treated for so many years by law enforcement. There was also a part of me and so many people that looked like me that wanted to sit back, toast to the heavens and let it happen. Because it was our chance to say, you've denied us for so very long when we tried to tell you about the inequalities that not only take place with white privilege, i.e. allowing them to stump, take over, and basically overthrow the government for X amount of hours. But law enforcement was so very complicit that there's footage and images of them ushering people in to do so, taking selfies in the White House and helping the mob, as you call them, down the steps peacefully. And so, like, when I think of the images of so many colored people who were killed at the hands of the police, and more notably and recently, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, sadly, I can go on and on, Tamir Rice, people that were killed in the hands of police custody, Freddie Gray. And those police reports were not only falsified in some of those cases, but the force was clearly unwarranted to the point where that person got harmed or killed and they were unarmed. People were in there with guns and nooses. And the image, and I want to hear what you have to say about that after I get this last point, of a gentleman waving a Confederate flag in the White House says it all. That we've moved on. I got a news flash for everybody that want to glorify that flag. They lost. And something called integration happened. The Confederacy lost. And that is what many Americans seem to be holding on to, and the rest of us have moved on. And we sat back yesterday and watched them scale the side of the Capitol building and act belligerent and undisciplined. And you know what black people said? Oh, we're going to blame it on rap music? You want to blame it on violence in the community? You want to blame it on single-parent homes? Like, well, so the veil is now off. And all of us got a chance to watch them behave in a manner that now I believe is going to force positive change amongst citizens and in politics.
Jalen, that's really well put. And I really have to put everything aside and start my sentiment by saying just how brave and vulnerable you are, you know, with our audience and sharing with our podcast audience, who's like family to us, what you're going through with your family. And obviously it's something that I knew before today. And it's something, having dealt with something similar in my family, it's very, very difficult and trying. And you would have every right to just focus on that and not do this podcast right now and not do the television show. And I just want to say thank you for sharing. And also thank you for doing this show. And you always say that this show feels like therapy to you, because me and you are close. It does kind of feel like sometimes it's just us two talking. And I want to put my prayers to Jeannie Rose, who I've obviously met her a handful of times, and we have a relationship through the television show. And the last time I saw Jeannie Rose, the last time I saw her, she pulled me aside. She said, "You're one of my sons now too." She said, "You're one of my sons now too." And she meant it. You know what I mean? Like I had to like audition for a while before I got anointed with that. And man, it warmed my heart. And my heart and my thoughts and my prayers are with her in a speedy recovery.
Thank you,
and I'm great to hear about a successful surgery and everything the bad that happened yesterday. I'm just happy that that happened for her. And I wish her the best recovery. Anything that I can do, let me know.
But thank you, brother. Appreciate
to
that.
To the events of the Capitol, you know, me and you, we have a sports podcast. We talk about sports. But especially right around Colin Kaepernick is when we really started intersecting with politics, like for real, for real. And Colin Kaepernick took a knee against social injustice, was what he said at the time. And we obviously know what happened from there. I don't need to fill in the blank. But it was until this summer when the social injustice during the pandemic really started to come to the forefront, because we had these videos, the aforementioned videos of black men being killed or shot at the hands of law enforcement. George Floyd was a major catalyst to this sort of racial reckoning that we had as a country. And there is a list of, unfortunately, hundreds if not thousands of other black men and women, black and brown men and women, that have been hurt or killed at the hands of law enforcement. But Breonna Taylor and George Floyd this summer sort of really raised awareness of that. And there was also recently Jacob Blake, just as early as Monday, Kenosha announced that they were not going to press charges against the officers involved. And I bring all that up to say, because as someone who researches and tries to always see the other side, in those three cases, there was always a yeah, but when it came to charging the officers or whether or not it was just what occurred. And I always like to see the other side. And in George Floyd, it was like, yeah, but he committed a crime, was resisting arrest. Okay. Obviously did not justify the actions that I saw in that video. But okay. And in the Breonna Taylor case, which I've read so much about, you could say, yeah, but they had a no-knock warrant. They went inside and they were fired upon first and they returned fire defending themselves. Okay. In the Jacob Blake case, it's, yeah, but he had a knife. He resisted arrest. He was tussling with the officers. So they were defending themselves. In the actions of what I've seen yesterday, the video that I've seen, the behavior of law enforcement to these people, when you juxtapose that with the videos that I saw, and I'll just use one example of, because I'm living in New York City and I used to live three blocks from Barclays, of the protest at Barclays, the way that those demonstrators were handled violently, aggressively by law enforcement, unprovoked. There's videos, dozens of videos, things that jaw-dropping videos of law enforcement hitting, pushing, beating, unprovoked men and women that were protesting for the Black Lives Matter movement. When you juxtapose that with the way that these terrorist demonstrators, protesters were behaving yesterday, there's no yeah, but. It is clear as day. The treatment of black and brown people and the treatment of white people, the treatment of those two subsets of our society by law enforcement is injustice. It's a double standard. It is an example of systemic racism. Now, systemic racism goes into education and economics and all of that. But let's just talk about, right now, I'm just talking about law enforcement's handling of these two events. And that is so clear as day. The video is right there. You can see it. It's right there. And it is. And when Doc Rivers said, and we all thought it, everyone who saw the videos yesterday had this thought. Imagine if those were black and brown people storming that Capitol. And unfortunately, we know exactly what the result of that would be. I don't even want to say it into a microphone. We know exactly what would have happened. And this, to me, is it's clear, indisputable fact. There was always a yeah, but with all these other instances. There is no yeah, but with this. Look at the way that Black Lives Matter protesters, peaceful protesters, were treated by law enforcement. And look at the way that these terrorists storming a government building to interrupt the democratic process. Let's not forget that. They're storming a government building to interrupt the democratic process, attempting to stop a president-elect from becoming the elected president. And that, to me, is just so, it just sticks out so much. And I want everyone to think, what if those were black and brown people? We know the difference. And that is just an obvious, for anyone that held any reservations about what's really going on in our society, if anyone held any reservations, if any held any doubt of the existence of this, it's all right there in front of you now.
Absolutely.
It's on the forefront now.
And you just did a Run DMC move when he like, I'll pass the D, I'll pass it back. Or like, Gary Payton to Sean Kemp lob. And let me tell you where you did it. As I drive past the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy, I didn't need yesterday to happen to motivate me to get back to my community. Big shout to anybody who's been of influence to JRLA, past, present, future, our staff, our students. We have some amazing things happening in the future. What also happened, Jacoby, and you say, what would happen to black people? The lob is, let me tell you, two things happen. One, we always assumed that white people got preferential treatment in the boardroom and or by the police. But it's another thing to watch it on video.
Mm-hmm.
So like when Kyle Rittenhouse crosses state lines with a weapon and shoots two people and isn't arrested, and I can give you people who bombed churches and got leniency from law enforcement, the number one thing that happened is we saw the police be timid to people that look like them on purpose. So usually, like Karis One, officer, overseer. No, he says it the other way. Overseer, officer. Take officer from overseer, download black cop. Download what NWA said about the police. Like, we've been screaming, Emmett Till. Google what happened to him. Google what happened to Fred Hampton. Jacoby, what happened to Fred Hampton, a black revolutionary who the government did not want to become a messiah. They did not want, the president of the United States was recorded saying, we did not need a black messiah in America. So Fred Hampton, who was a uniter of all people, black people and poor white people, and I want to get to that. Bring me back to the poor white people point later, please.
Okay.
And so what happened to Fred Hampton as he was brutally murdered, as the police stormed his home, Jacoby, it gives me chills because it's eerily similar to happen to what happened to Breonna Taylor. One was in the 1960s.
December 1969.
Wow. So that's what, that's 45 years plus.
I'm going with 52 years ago.
But, and by the way, I'm just so fired up. I was born in 1973. I can really do the math, but I know how old I am. And so like those cases are eerily similar. And the formation of the police department, Jacoby, was to corral slaves. So to us, they were always against us. Remember, we had American policing with limited black people on the force, if any. They were formed to police us. So for us to get that visual imagery in 2021, we just started a new year, and we've been seeing this and talking about this topic for over 400 years. To see law enforcement be timid, basically had to be instructed to allow them in. Jacoby, since 9/11, anybody that's been to an airport, to get into the Capitol building is 100 times tougher. It didn't seem like those people had any problems to get in. Did they seem like they show ID to get in, Jacoby?
No, they opened the door. They opened the gates.
And then they broke the windows when they didn't.
Mm.
They vandalized the place and everything. We didn't get our electoral vote done until almost 4 a.m.
Yeah, Jalen, I want to say something to that point, because this was the confirmation of the Electoral College vote. From Mike Pence was scheduled to happen in the afternoon. That is exactly the same time in which these events happened. But I do want to say they did disrupt the democratic process. That was accomplished.
Yes.
But the democratic process continued after they left.
Preach.
So when you wake up in the morning, you didn't do anything. You really didn't do anything. It was disruptive, and it was an act of terrorism, but didn't change a thing. The president-elect was, again, confirmed as the president-elect, will be the president in 2 weeks. You can break all the doors, storm all the buildings, and do whatever you want, but you cannot stop the democratic process.
Well said. And also, while they didn't get their intended consequence done, Jacoby, they did a lot of damage. But you know what else they did? They showed us that we're past that thinking of white power and supremacy, and they got to catch up. Because if they don't realize it, their kids, their nieces, their nephews, you know what they're doing? Dating out of their race. You know what they're doing? Having friends that don't look like them, that don't feel like their parents feel. They don't agree with that. That is why you see states like Arizona flip, and the rhetoric against John McCain, I'm pretty sure that played a part. Wisconsin flip with the Milwaukee Bucks did, that had an effect. Michigan flip, having Detroit area people be able to vote at the Pistons polling site, Jacoby, that was so very clutch. And last but not least, Georgia flipped. Georgia, Georgia. That's the sign of the progress that you talk about when we wake up the next day. Yeah, it was dark last night and it was stormy. But the next day, progress is happening. The people who need to join are the people that weren't so diverse that we saw at Capitol Hill yesterday, making a mockery out of the democratic process.
It's a great point, Mr. Rose. The whole thing was so shocking, so jarring to watch play out. It was so much has happened this year that's been so surreal. You know, the surreality of the last 12 months, it just seems like anything is possible. Nothing floors me anymore. Watching that, I'm just numb to everything because of the pandemic and all of the events that we've mentioned thus far. But one thing I do want to do to pivot somewhat to sports is for you to take us behind the curtain, because you mentioned when Jacob Blake was shot, paralyzed, he was shot 7 times in the back, in the side. And again, charges were not brought down upon the officers involved because it was deemed as self-defense because he had a knife that he was allegedly reaching for. Okay, I understand that. But after you shot him 6 times, there's something called excessive force. Jalen, don't you think the 7th bullet into that human torso would be considered excessive force? I'm not a lawyer. I haven't read the laws, but it seems to me that could be considered excessive force. And I bring that up to say, when that happened, when that video was released, the Milwaukee Bucks did not play their game. The NBA shut down for 3 days. So I want you to take us behind the curtain. Obviously you don't know, you weren't there, but what's going on in the locker room, you know, 2 hours before game time, an hour before game time, when they're watching the same videos that we are all watching on our phones about what's happening at the nation's capital? There was some discussion that maybe they weren't going to play. They decided to play. What do you think? What do you surmise happens in those conversations behind closed doors?
Along with one of their teammates, Sterling Brown, who had an issue with law enforcement in Wisconsin as well.
Yep.
He now plays for the Rockets. And so not only is it a conversation, it has happened to one of your family members. So that makes it a lot more personal when you hear and know about the story. And what gets said is, we know we were brought to this country as Black people to entertain. And all of a sudden we started getting paid millions of dollars to do it. With money in this country comes power. And because we were able to entertain so well, we were able to garner being paid top dollar for that entertainment. So now that we have that platform and that money, it's up to us to now deliver back to society and the community our voices, our time. And usually, Jacoby, if that's for safety of animals or cancer research or so many notable charities that people do across the country, no one balks. But soon as I say my Black Lives, my Black Life Matters, oh man.
How could you say that?
Right. Why would I say such a thing? And so what the players now have to navigate is there's the score of the game and the game of life. And we have this platform, but are we really just about shucking and jiving? Or is it more to us than putting the ball in the hoop? And then when you realize at some point in your life that it is, to all of us it happens at different periods, you want to express that. That's called character. That's called maturity. And people tell you to shut up and dribble only when they don't agree with you. There are notable athletes. If you far to the left and you're said athlete and people disagree and or vice versa. And so this is our chance to not only make a notable change in our community, but also send a message that enough is enough. And if we don't play this basketball game, we're going to affect the money. They value that money. This United States of America, Jacoby, I don't have to tell you that power of that dollar, boy, I tell you. It's the root of all evil. And when you can affect that dollar, you can now all of a sudden go to the NBA and say, we want Black Lives Matter on the floor, and we want 29 messages on the back of the jersey because our league is 74% Black. And the WNBA, whose league is 81% Black, now you take that leverage and you turn it into action. That's what we've seen happen since the beginning of time. And now we're learning to do that. And that's what those players did in Wisconsin. They saw what happened to Jacob Blake. And they said, I'm Giannis. I'm the most famous person in Milwaukee. Who do I need to get on the phone? That's how you make change. And so that domino led to the league and other sports entities shutting down, which graduated last night to the players taking a knee and doing various silent protests, and the Celtics having a press release, because it's the contrast when we peacefully protest. Take a knee, Colin Kaepernick. Turn the other cheek, Martin Luther King. Eye for an eye, Malcolm X. Good trouble, like John Lewis. It don't matter. It's denounced and dismissed. But when we see what happened at Capitol Hill the other night, and you the players that needed to go out and play basketball last night because that's what you do for a living, you now feel empowered. You feel emboldened to go even further to try to create that level of equality that we've been searching for since we were promised 40 acres and a mule by this country and we never received it.
Well put, Jalen Rose. Unfortunately, this won't be the last time that we talk about these issues on this program. And it's something that's been going on for hundreds of years, something that will continue to go on. And if it's not storming the Capitol or Colin Kaepernick or Jacob Blake or George Floyd, it will be something else and it will not end anytime soon. But we will now turn our sights on the world of sports because we've got a bunch of NFL games this weekend. But Jalen, last night was one of the first Wednesday nights where I really just got to not deal with my kids, got to sit in my room by myself and just league pass nerd out. Like, I got all the games. There's so many games going on at once. And I'm going to start with one game that I was watching, keeping a close eye on. That's between the New York Knickerbockers and the Utah Jazz. It was played at Madison Square Garden. First half looked bad for the Knicks. Julius Randle wasn't doing anything. RJ Barrett wasn't doing anything. They couldn't get anything together. And I said, same old Knicks. Going to lose this one. Oh, well, still 500. 4-4 doesn't look bad. But then the second half happened, Jalen. Randle started getting buckets. And then they put Austin Rivers in at the end of the game. And I always say this about Austin Rivers. One of my favorite things about Austin Rivers is you cannot tell him he is not Michael Jordan. Like, when he's on the Rockets, when he's on the Rockets and James Harden's got the ball, Austin Rivers is over there like, this fool needs to give me the ball to score. You know, that's how he feels. And sometimes it manifests itself like it did last night. He scored 11 points in the last, like, 4 minutes, I want to say. He just couldn't miss. Heat check after heat check. And they won the game. And, Jalen, I'm not going to act like this 5-3 Knicks team is going to make the playoffs or this means that they're for real or blah, blah, blah. But I'll say this is they played different than they did last year. And Coach Tibbs, he does his Coach Tibbs thing. He got the starters playing like 40 minutes a game. He does. He's just got the starters playing 40 minutes a game. But he's got people playing hard, closing out three-pointers, boxing out, pushing the ball up, executing. I'm starting to think that this Knicks team could make the playoffs. Your thoughts? Play in, if not the playoffs.
They now could be amongst a mix of teams between 7 and 10 in the East for the last play-in spots because each of those squads are going to be hovering around or below 500.
Oh, below, for sure.
So they definitely can and should if they can maintain being that mix. I'm just happy because it's better for the league Eastern Standard Time when the Knicks are relevant because that market is something that the league needs to be successful. And having bad basketball there and 9,000 fans show up to watch games ain't it. However, while everybody's enthusiastic and Knick fans get a chance to cheer their team and now you die easy again and so many people blowing up my phone about their Knicks, I want to make sure I continue to own this like I'm going to own police falsifying reports. I'm going to continue to own this. I still don't appreciate what their organization did to Spike Lee.
Good point.
Because what's now happening, a guy like him should actually be able to enjoy, just like you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that was missing to me. It really was. That was missing to me. His post or, you know, him tweeting about the team, you know, that's missing to me.
That's a good point. Because the Oakley thing, like maybe Oakley said something we couldn't hear and he was aggressive or whatever. But Spike was just doing what he's done for years. Like, I know the Garden. I've worked there before. I know exactly what you know the entrance he went in. You know,
of course, I played there.
Yeah, you know that entrance. It's not that special. This ain't Goodfellas where you gotta like tip somebody $100 to sneak through the kitchen. It's a normal entrance for employees. And he's been going through it forever. And then one day they decide that he's not an employee, so he can't go through. And that was targeted. Man, why you bring that up? I was excited about the Knicks. Let's talk about the marquee game of the night. It was the first game of the ESPN's doubleheader. Celtics, Heat, matchup of the Eastern Conference Finals from last year. Celtics started out a little slow, putting it together of late. Heat started out a little slow, still kind of going slow. Peyton Pritchard got a put back to win the game. But you had a very interesting thought about a superstar for the Miami Heat early in the season. What was that?
Jimmy Butler been struggling shooting the ball from the field, especially from three. You told me he hadn't made a three all year. And my eye test, that seemed pretty accurate. You know what I'm saying?
Not one three. And Ben Simmons got a three, dog. Ben Simmons got a three, Jimmy.
Wow, that's a great one, Jacoby. That's like my Blake Griffin is going to make as much this year as Christian Wood in the next 3 years. Oh, my goodness.
I told you, I used this one earlier today. Blake Griffin got a statue in Detroit. It's just him.
And Jimmy Butler, clearly the heartbeat of the Heat, along with Bam. Of course, he could drive to the basket and create contact and finish with the best of them and score in the paint. But you still got to be effective from long range, and that's what helped lift the Heat as a team to the finals last year, their overall three shooting, but in particular for Jimmy, his improved and timely three-point shooting. So his peaks and valleys in scoring, he had 26 versus the Celtics, and then he's had a couple single-digit games. I think once he finds his stride as an all-NBA caliber player, that clearly is going to bode well with adding Avery Bradley and some of the moves they made this offseason for the Miami Heat.
Good point, Jalen. Well, one thing I saw from the Miami Heat yesterday is they took it too far with the uniforms in the court. Like, that Miami Vice thing was cool a couple years ago. They started getting some freaky colors. But they were getting praised for it, and they had some good uniforms. Like, the all uniforms for the past 2 years have been good. But, nah, not those. Not those last night. I don't want my basketball team looking like My Little Pony. You look like a My Little Pony that one of my daughters has. No thanks.
I love the NBA so much. And Jacoby, I could not disagree more.
No. You like the My Little Pony cotton candy? The swirl, the court swirl with the half and halves? No, you lying. You're just trying to be a contrarian. This ain't first take, dog. You don't got to do that.
I'm gonna tell you words that came out of my mouth.
Brash, disgusting.
I'm gonna tell you what I said while I was enjoying the game.
Why do they look like My Little Ponies covered in cotton candy?
The Miami Heat / Vice uniforms are so cold, so ill, so dope. And then they added the court to go with it, too?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness. I thought that was so deaf. Like, I meant to have D bring it up and show it on the show. Mm-mm. I love it so much. That's marketing genius 101. That is brilliant, especially when it's a television experience without fans in the stands. Brilliant. Y'all hit us and tell us what y'all think about it. I think the uniforms are fly. I think the floor was dope. It made me want to go get in shape, tie up my shoes, and squeak my jimmies on. I love this so much.
He said squeak my jimmies on it. Yeah, you're so over 40. I love you so much. Use deaf and sweet squeak my jimmies on it real quick. Another game that I found a lot of interest in, not because of the winning team, which was the 76ers, the losing team, the Wizards. Bradley Beal, 55 points in the first three quarters. Ended up just scoring 5, I believe, in the fourth. Ended up with 60. But he was mad after the game. Mad. And you know Hembo and the Sports and Information Group, they looked it up. And again, I don't have it in front of me, but something like, when he scores over 45 points, the Wizards are 1-6. He's just tired of losing. Tired of losing. Jalen, how does he put up 60 and lose?
He was disgusted. I was watching the game, and by the way, he had 57 after three. And he didn't start on the floor at the top of the fourth.
No, he didn't go on until like 8 minutes left.
And then once he got in the game, he got a nice bucket, like a stop, but they wasn't featuring him.
I noticed that too.
They weren't going to him. It was good to see Ish Smith herky-jerky get a couple of moves off, and Russ tried to make a couple of plays but was unsuccessful. But the thing that stood out to me is they weren't featuring him at that point, number one.
I'm glad you said that, because I know the Ish Smith bucket you're talking about when he got under the basket and then faked one reverse and went with the other reverse. It was a nice bucket. But right after that, I'm thinking, isn't there a guy on the floor that scored 55? Like, should we find him, Ish? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not an NBA basketball player. I'm not an offensive coordinator. But I might give the guy who's got 57 points the ball. That's all.
Right. And so as the game progressed, and it was the last couple of minutes, and you can pretty much tell that they were going to lose. I was wanting him to get 60. And so he was at the line. He had 58. You were right. He had 55 at the end of three, and then he made that step back three on the left. That made 58 or something like that. But anyway, I wanted him to get 60. And so it was less than 24 seconds. They're trailing. You know, they're not going to win. And somebody throw him a long outlet at half court, and then somebody else commit a bad foul to actually send him to the line. But no, I wanted to see if he could get 61 to break Gilbert Arenas' record. That's what it was. And so he had 59. He went to the line. He made the first one. And to your point, he was so mad, I knew he was going to miss the second one. I was like he had been mad the last, like, 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just showed his face the last two possessions. He walked out. I was like, he going to miss. And he missed. And so, like, as a player, it's going to be interesting to see what happened with those personalities. Because while you have Russ and Beal, what you don't have is a good team. Mm. And you ask me, you know, can the Knicks be in the mix? Yeah. The Wizards can too. Bertans can make threes. Their big fella down low is Bryant. A budget.
Bryant is good. I like Bryant this season. He's you know, much improved from last season.
Absolutely. He's a budget, I'll say, Clint Capella, for those who haven't really, you know, watching deeper into league pass. And so, like, when you watch them play, it seems like they have some pieces. And then all of a sudden, the other team comes to town. And you're like, oh, okay, they got Tatum and Brown. And then they got Marcus Smart. Okay, well, they got Giannis. And then they got Middleton. And then they got Drew. And then you keep going down in the East. It's like, the only way they're going to be a playoff team is a play-in. And so they're going to need Bradleyville to put up big numbers regardless. Just like the Warriors are going to need Steph Curry to put up numbers regardless. Well, if you're going to be a playoff team.
You start looking at playoff teams in the East, and you're like, all right, well, we got our solid, like, 17, so there's maybe one open, you know. And you're like, ah, Pistons, they ain't going to be in there. But you can always count on Cleveland not being in there. Orlando will probably drop off. And then you look at Cleveland and Orlando's records. They played last night. You're like, wait, am I looking at 4-2 teams right now? Like, are we battling for the number three spot in the East right now? Like, is that really what's happening? Obviously, those trends won't continue, but it is a real, real battle at the bottom of the Eastern Conference for that play-in tournament spot. We are going to do something that you do on your other podcast. You cheat on me with another podcast called Renaissance Man. It's on, distributed by the New York Post. You got Robin Thicke on this week.
Thank you. Absolutely.
And we're going to do a quick rapid-fire finish. Now, this isn't your strong suit, Jalen, because you have so many thoughts. You're so articulate. You're so long-winded. So we're doing rapid-fire. And I'm going to cut you off if you go too long. You ready?
I've been doing this a long time, dog. Let me just tell the world something. Okay. I can give you a bullet in 30 seconds. Like, I can give you something in a minute and a half. I can do the first take filibuster and go 5 minutes. Whatever you need, dog. I got you.
Like, I remember, like, my wife sometimes will say, she'll be like, you know, if there's no sports, like, what do you guys talk about? I'm just like, you don't understand, Joey. Like, we don't need sports. We don't need anything. I can go for 5 minutes. I can go for 5 hours about anything. You know?
Correct.
It's easy. Light work. So now we're going to go quickly. We're going quickly. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Ravens-Titans game. Two running teams. However, we've acknowledged the difference between them is not how they run the ball. It's how they do what, Mr. Rose?
Defend the run.
Mm-hmm. I've got some numbers for you. Great. Rushing yards. You got rushing yards for defense. Ravens 8th, Titans 19th. Rushing touchdowns, Ravens 4th, Titans 22nd. Third down rushing percentage, Ravens 2nd, Titans 29th in the league. As a reminder, there's only 32 teams. My thoughts to you, that's going to be the difference. They can both run the ball, but they both can't do what, Jalen Rose?
They can't stop the run.
Sorry, Titans fans. It ain't going to be like it was last year. Ravens are going to move on. Another quick one. Jalen, Markelle Fultz, out for the season.
Sending prayers. Happy that the Orlando Magic gave him an opportunity to resurrect his name. Then give him a $10 million contract after he resurrected his game. And then when he showed he can actually play in the league, rewarded him with another contract. I'm just happy that if he was going to get injured, it's after he got paid.
Me too. When you asked me earlier off wax, you were like, do you think they regret the deal? And I was like, no. They gave him that initial deal because they saw something they liked. They know him and his abilities more than anybody else on the planet. There's a reason they gave him these deals. And when you give somebody a deal, you can't predict injuries. He's not particularly injury prone in his career. And I just feel bad for them. Bad luck. Jalen Gordon Hayward, 44 points for the Hornets.
Where'd that come from?
Oh, now he's your guy again. Now he's your guy again. He wasn't your guy last year, the year before.
Yes, he was. There's no footage of Jalen Gordon Hayward slander back to Butler, dog. I've worn the old school Indiana throwback Hoosiers uniform, dog. 49 states is basketball. That's Indiana. That's my guy. Putting up 44. And your guy, Melo Ball, flirting with triple doubles already on the nightly basis.
Thank you for bringing it up because I feel very validated about my Melo Ball pick. I love Melo Ball so much. And you know what? He doesn't look right when he shoots the ball. He doesn't. I'm not going to lie. He doesn't shoot a great percentage, but he's in his first 3 weeks of his NBA career, and he's shown so much promise, rebounding, assists. He's going to get better on defense. He's going to get better at shooting the ball. Love LaMelo Ball. So I got great news for the Pistons, Jalen. Great news for the Pistons. You ready?
Great. Yes.
Held Giannis under 40 points. Giannis put up 43 on Monday night. Last night, held Giannis to 25 points, Jalen Rose. Now, they lost by 15. But is that a win for the Pistons? Because if it was, it would be their second this entire season.
Absolutely. I can't wait till later this month to let everybody know how I held Kobe under 100.
Oh, yeah. What's that day? That's that day you're always trending. Do you know the date?
I love it. Yeah, I'm going to make sure I have a fresh cut that day.
Yeah, do you know the date?
January 20th, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I always wake up and I look at trending topics and I see Jalen Rose on there and I'm like, oh no, today's
the day.
And then
you look down at your phone and Jalen texting you like, yo, send me the link to the old Grantland.
Yeah. But what I really need you to do is to text me, don't worry, it's just the 81 day. Because the first thing that goes to my mind is like, oh no, what happened?
I don't know what he did. Feed my family.
Yeah, something tells me it's not the announcement of the expansion of the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy that got him trending. Something tells me he's not finally getting recognized for everything he does for the community.
I don't even know why he's trending. You know what? I can't front, dog. I'm in the city right now, and I want to send strength to my lovely mother, Jeannie Rose, who's a beacon of health, most notably into the last couple of years, who's dealt with some challenges with cancer and the cancer spreading. And, you know, being in the city, you know, and seeing my mother, Jacoby, to be honest with you, I am almost 50. I know the world, you know, got to know me probably as a McDonald's High School All-American, but definitely as a freshman in Michigan. You start to see your mortality a little bit. Mm. And it's like, my mother's in her late 70s, and my father passed in his late 60s. My grandmother passed when she was 103. So if I'm pushing 50 and I was kind of doing some sort of aggregate average, because my grandfather, I believe, passed in his late 80s, I believe that it makes it imperative for me, as people start to get older, you realize why they have diarrhea of the mouth and they don't bite their tongue for anyone. It's almost like young kids who say what's on their mind because they're not old enough to understand that what they say may affect someone's heart. Mm-hmm. And so being in the city, I'm riding around, Jacoby, I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. I don't have a key to the city. So I was like, hold on. Let me Google who got keys to the city. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and then
no.
I was like,
oh no.
I was like, wait a minute. One of these people who have a key to the city was somebody that didn't necessarily represent the best interest of people that look like me.
You mean Saddam Hussein, perhaps?
Yes. it's like.
What are you doing, Coleman Young?
You know, and it's like, you know, I feel like it's gonna happen. So, you know, it might as well happen while I'm here. It's gonna happen.
Oh, hold up. Big Sean got key to the city. He too young. No. Wait, Elmo? Elmo got a key to the city, dog? Elmo got a key to the city and you ain't got one?
I'm trying to tell you, dog.
Elmo? So, Elmo?
I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say one more thing. Because like I told you, from now on, you got to get unfiltered diarrhea at the mouth. Old man, almost 50, Jalen. Mad that he cut a mohawk in his head and ain't showing y'all his hair until it grow out. Let me tell you something. That was just for Christmas. You know, I had to do the red carpet thing. So, like, I saw an announcement this week that I'm going to talk about one time right now.
We got to go. No. We got to wrap right now. We're going to hit you with that later. I'm cutting you off, Jalen Anthony Rose.
Okay.
Cutting you off.
So we at the bar.
That's gonna be a tease. Yep.
It's already after 2, and they gave us a drink at 1:55, and I'm still trying to go back and complain, and the lights on.
Yeah. No. You're getting cut off. And if you know, you know. Of course, that's gonna be addressed at some point down the road, but just not right here, right now. Not in this day, because today's about celebrating the life and the health of Jeannie Rose.
Thank you, Jesus, a trendsetter. An innovator.
We'll be back.
Imagine she created the name Jalen.
And so now 20% of the league is Jalen's, both the NFL and the
NBA. How about that? So therefore, we're not done. We are never done.